Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 13th of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Let's get the show started. That song I opened up with is Josiah is the JP. That's the Ed Moxie rendition of Josiah is the JP. I play that song today because today is the 100th birthday, the 100th birthday of Ms. Miriam Rocha from Fox Hill. I want to say thank you to Candace Brown for sharing that with me. Candace Brown's mother, who passed away recently, is one of our local historians, was one of our local historians. And before her untimely passing, she was working on a tribute to Ms. Rocha to be put on at the Fox Hill Day at the community center for last year. Unfortunately, she passed. And her daughter has put together, from her mother's work, a 10-minute tribute and posted it to YouTube last night. It's called A Tribute to a 100-Year-Old Legend. That's what you search for. A Tribute to a 100-Year-Old Legend. The YouTube channel is Adina Smith. It's Adina Smith, and it's a tribute to Miss Miriam Rocha, who is celebrating 100 years today in the Bahamas. Now, the reason I played the song Josiah is the JP is because that's how I learned about Miss Miriam Rocha. In trying to find out what the song Josiah is the JP is about, we got a call from a gentleman who explained to us, the listening audience, that a man named Bagadu wrote Josiah is the JP. If y'all know Burma Road, the song Burma Road, when it opens with the lines, "Don't mind Livingston, Josiah is the JP." And I wanted to know what that meant. Why was that written? Why they say that, right? And in my quest for information, this gentleman called and explained to us that a man by the name of Bagadu wrote that song, and Bagadu would take up his post every day on the wall in front of or across from Miss Miriam Rocha's house. Miss Miriam Rocha's a teacher. And that's how I learned about Miss Miriam Rocha. Well, today is her 100th birthday, and today we are all Miss Rocha's children, and we all say happy birthday, congratulations, long life, Godspeed. We all love you and the contributions that you've made to the Fox Hill community and to all of us. For that, we say thank you. Producer, play that next song for me by Eddie Minnis. Eric Minns? I don't know. But if I say it, y'all can get mad at me. Play Fox Hill Gal, please, producer. Now you all know why they write that song and they play it all the time. Because if Miss Miriam Roker is a Fox Hill gal, then I understand why everybody want Fox Hill gal when they get married. Good morning, Miss Roker. We hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful day. You guys, thank you for spending that little bit of time with me and the tribute to Miss Miriam Roker. I have Mr. Fox Hill himself in studio with me right now. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning. I'm not sure if I have the credence to be called Mr. Fox Hill. You know, I'm a driftwood. I'm a seaweed product, and Foxillians tend to be defensive when it comes to saying I'm a real Foxillian. But I have a narrative in which the Honorable Fred Mitchell mentioned in terms of Josiah the MP.
Yes.
In one of his speeches that he gave, he said that Livingston was Josiah's son.
Okay.
And that he got in trouble during the Burma Road riot or some sort. And as he's instigating the crowd to do whatever he want to do, and if someone stopped him and said, hey, don't mind him. He daddy.
That's the man with the problem.
To JP, he could get written off. It was a good story that he gave, and I would encourage persons to ask Fred Mitchell to recant that story again.
Yeah.
Because he went in detail of when, where, which, how, and why, and stuff like that.
And to record it and document it,
yes.
Right? Keep it at the Fox Hill Community Center so people can access it, especially for the kids, right? And these are the things that we should be sharing with our children. And just pretend like you always knew, if you have to, right? Just pretend like you always knew. But create this experience for your children so they value the ways in which we transfer information. Mr. Newry, I want to talk about the headline, that story on the front of the Tribune, as we get the show going. But I see we have a caller on the line. Producer, we go into that call. Good morning, caller.
Happy birthday to Miss Roker. Happy birthday to Miss Roker. Happy birthday to you.
Pumpkin Eater,
yes,
you sounded better than the Prime Minister just now, I say to you. Thank you very much.
Well, I meant to say happy birthday.
No, he didn't say anything, actually.
Oh, okay.
But he made a joyous noise unto the Lord, and that's all we asked for.
Yeah. 100 years. My grandmother asked me a long time ago if they wanted to live 100 years. They didn't know. But I think about it, long as I'm in good health and still can percolate, yes.
Of course.
Yes.
That's really what it is. If you are
right.
In good health and have the ability to take care of your own basic needs, like being able to use the bathroom, being able to bathe yourself, you know?
Right,
move
right.
yourself around. Yes.
Right. And you're able to see and hear and continue on all of my senses. But you know, that 100 years, man, somebody should. I admire that. Let me tell you why I admire it. You talk about culture, and you talk about Fred Mitchell recording for Fox Hill, right? People like journalists, like, especially Zanis, they are public broadcasting station. They should go to her and interview her.
Without a doubt.
Strong enough, because she has so much to share.
Yeah.
So much, man, from the horse and carriers from till now. You can imagine, like, me, you lived in Newry, lived to see 100 years. You know how many things you can share?
Exactly.
And I keep note of them in my mind.
Exactly. And it's really about curating the space that the interview takes place in to elicit the types of information you want. It has to be down homesy. It has to be relaxed so she could tell the story and crack the joke, you know?
And no university in the world could pay for that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And she should be honored with an honorable doctor degree. I see people get honorable doctor degree and they reach her age.
Yeah.
This woman should be honored. And the university should look at honoring people like that, man.
And honoring them by capturing their stories and experiences and entrenching them, holding them in digital form so that everybody could access them into the future.
And Erin Gray, if she's strong enough, get a hold of her. See if you could bring her on the show. I mean, she's strong enough to communicate and still remember.
Yeah, but Pumpkin Eater, what if she asked me for a gift on air? What if she asked me for a birthday gift on air and I have to give it to her?
Contact the Pumpkin Eater, I'll give it to her.
Oh, there you go. Thank you so much, Pumpkin Eater.
I say what's about that.
I know, I can work on it.
All right, have a good day.
You too. You have a great day, Pumpkin Eater. Let's go to the second call quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
This is your good friend. Good morning, Nike.
Good morning, sir. Don't watch nothing from my play that song. I hope that you called.
Yeah, well, I ain't not insurance now trying to do my TCC thing.
Okay.
You know, these things always mature and different from one another. Your license one day, your driver's license, your insurance, your TCC.
Yeah.
You got to go. But anyway, I hear you with that folks thing. Y'all tell the people that Sparky auntie.
I mean, I want the other people to dream. Sparky, what if somebody else out there believed that they gal is the Fox Hill gal he was singing about?
No. The Fox Hill gal named Esther Mins, my mother's oldest sister.
Yes, sir.
Who grew up on the corner of Camp Road and Shirley Street and the big green building, which you see on the corner there.
Yeah.
That was a wooden structure my grandfather and grandmother, Sam and I, the Mins. The man that wrote that song was Eric Mins. He just died the other day from Canada. He wrote the song, gave it to Duke King Eric.
Yeah.
And King Eric was the vocalist, but the song was written by Eric Mins. And on Esther, they used to call her Esther Tech. In fact, Mr. Edgecombe's son and me right now in Bingham, they used to call my mother, my aunt Esther, they used to call her Esther Tech. Living through the same corner. What's your daddy name? Frank Edgecombe Road.
Oh, you got a historian in the room with you.
This Godfrey Edgecombe, who had the children. Scully, you could say you had the children. She had the children.
Sparky,
for your auntie. Scully is saying he had the children for your auntie. I don't know how he do that.
It's a bad man.
Yeah, but that's the history that they used to call her Esther Tech. She used to ride this bicycle. She had a bicycle, but every time she reached a roundabout by Fox Hill, she knows so much people that she just used to walk the bicycle because she had to stop to hail everybody on the way home.
There you go.
She used to live between Blueberry Hill, where her boyfriend was, Mr. Carl, and then her house was down through Frank Edgecombe Road. She left that property to Eric Mins, and he used to come down every summer to hail his family.
Thank you, Sparky. That's a beautiful history. Now, the most important thing is documenting it in writing and then uploading it to the universe, right? So that we will always know the origin of the song, Fox Hill Gal. That's why these things are so important. And I don't know the value that this information holds or will hold for Bahamians in the future. So we have to document all of it. Even if we don't think it holds personal value, it holds value for somebody else. Well, let's get the show started with our Sand Dollar Live read. The Sand Dollar team is headed to Long Island, November 14th through 17th. That's this week. Tomorrow, Tuesday, November 14th, 6 p.m., learn about the digital Bahamian dollar at the community meeting held at NGM Major High School. Wednesday, November the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., experience Sand Dollar when you attend the team's top-up event at Sunflower Mart in Hamilton, Long Island. Download a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and get a free $20 top-up. Spend $18 or more at Sunflower Mart and get $5 back on exit. Merchants interested in accepting Sand Dollar can schedule a one-on-one meeting by calling 302-9880 or by sending an email to sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. A good morning. One of the stories I wanted to start off this morning is the story on the front of the Tribune, Nygaard guilty of sexual assaults. It's also in today's Guardian. Canadian jury finds fashion mogul Nygaard guilty of 4 sexual assault charges, acquits him on 2 counts. This is yesterday's news. Peter Nygaard, who once led a women's fashion empire, was found guilty of 4 counts of sexual assault in a Canadian court on Sunday, but was acquitted of a 5th count plus a charge of forcible confinement. The jury handed down the verdict on the 5th day of deliberations following a 6-week trial in Toronto. Nygaard, 82, had pleaded not guilty to all charges, which stemmed from allegations dating back from the 1980s to the mid-2000s. 5 women whose identities are protected by a publication ban had testified that they were invited to Nygaard's Toronto headquarters under pretexts ranging from tours to job interviews, with all encounters ending in a top-floor bedroom suite where 4 of them were sexually assaulted. A second story from September of this year, the 27th of September 2023, in the Nassau Tribune. Nygaard sex crime court case begins. Bahamians among the alleged victims of sexual assaults. The sex crimes trial of Peter Nygaard, a former longtime resident of Lifeaki, began in Canada. This is again in September. What I want to read from this article, because this article says Bahamians among the alleged victims of sexual assaults. And this article is also referencing the case that I just read about that centered around the Toronto headquarters. In 2020, the Southern District of New York filed documents alleging... Sorry, let me begin again. I just wanted to make a link because it appears as if this case with the 5... where he was found guilty of 4 sexual assault charges and acquitted on 2 counts involves a Bahamian, but we're not certain. So I'm going to read from Nygaard sex crime court case begins, Bahamians among the alleged victims of sexual assaults. Prosecutors provided a synopsis of their case yesterday, saying Nygaard's Toronto headquarters had a private bedroom suite where he allegedly sexually assaulted his victims. The UK newspaper The Guardian reported on yesterday's court proceedings. According to the newspaper, a Crown lawyer, Anna Saban, described a case when Nygaard, in his 40s, met a woman in her 20s on a flight to the Bahamas. Nygaard later invited her for a job interview at his Toronto office, The Guardian reported. When they ended up in the bedroom, she tried to leave. He tackles the woman onto the bed, puts his whole body into it, pins her down on her back, and tries to undress her against her will, said Saban. She's terrified. That's testimony directly from that case. In 2020, the Southern District of New York filed documents alleging that Nygaard raped 10 women, including 9 Bahamians, in a wide-ranging criminal enterprise that involved intimidating victims and offering them hush money for over a decade. The lawsuit claimed he evaded exposure by bribing local police and Progressive Liberal Party politicians. 8 of Nygaard's alleged Bahamian victims were between 14 and 18 when he raped them. The indictment claimed Nygaard's victims were typically young, vulnerable, and impoverished Bahamian girls he knew wouldn't report his crimes to the police. He allegedly kept a database of potential victims that was maintained by the ET department of his company. By the mid-2000s, the database allegedly featured information on over 7,500 underage girls and women. Again, I'm reading from the article Nygaard sex crime court case begins. Bahamians among the alleged victims of sexual assaults in the Nassau Tribune, 27th of September to 27th of September 2023. That was this year. You can find that article online. I just wanted to mention that story. Mr. Nygaard still has a number of cases to face in court, and those cases also involve Bahamian victims.
This is where I ask you, Aaron, to stick a pin in it.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
The article mentioned Bahamian young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if we understand or are appreciating what that means. This is Bahamian underage young girls, which they are suggesting that they were molested, raped.
Mm-hmm. Or sexually assaulted
yeah. in some way by Nygaard. This is my question. Is there any case pending?
Locally.
Charge pending locally in the Bahamas? And if there's no case pending, charges pending, what does that mean? What does that say about our police force, our government agencies in general?
Mm-hmm.
Right? One article says that the prosecutor says that the police in the Bahamas are corrupt, and that Nygaard had them on the payroll. And of course, I dismissed that. Said that's ridiculous. It can't be all the police. In every jurisdiction, there's one or two people
mm-hmm.
who may be corrupt, right? But the system regulates that, and then eventually we weed them out.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is the case that there's absolutely no charges for Nygaard, Peter Nygaard, local charges here, one must conclude that perhaps the prosecutor in the United States who said it blatantly, that he had the entire force on the payroll, that when people made a complaint, that they found that the whole file went missing and Nygaard came in his possession with it. That's an indictment on us. I believe that the current commissioner of police needs to speak now. And there needs to be someone who will be championing the rights of Bahamian women, Bahamian girls. And in fact, we need to find these women,
mm-hmm.
right? And have them speak and tell their truth on what happened to them and how did this atrocity happen to them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like everything you said just now made absolute sense, Mr. Newry. If you read what I read just now, right? If you just heard it, he allegedly kept a database of potential victims that was maintained by the IT department. By the mid-2000s, the database allegedly featured information on over 7,500 underage girls and women. If you heard that, like I heard it, like I read it, right? And then you remember that we also live in a jurisdiction as pegged as having one of the highest incidences of human smuggling and trafficking, right? And smuggling is when you go willingly. Trafficking is when you may go willingly, but you not go in where you thought you were going, right? You don't go willingly at all. You get kidnapped and you're sent on a journey. When I put those two things together, I can't imagine that there's not a unit, even if it's a secret unit, right? Like even if we, the public, are not privy to it at this point in time, that there's been a unit constructed only to investigate this. Only to investigate this. I mean, this is horrifying. This is horrifying. These are horrifying allegations, but they have reached a level that warrant a complete and thorough investigation locally. And we, the public, are part of the problem, Mr. Newry, because we should be demanding this. We should be demanding an investigation. I see the lights are red. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning, caller. How are you?
finding you, Miss Aaron Green, you and your host, C.A. Newry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I said retired for at least 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to say my name, but everybody know my voice. Well, I don't know if NIGOD or doing an investigation, they I hear y'all mention something about the police, right? But
mm-hmm.
Don't forget now. Down in Lifeguida, you had NIGOD and you had Lewis Bacon. And what I recall, a number of lawyers, I know them well, working around the courts,
mm-hmm.
right? And a number of preachers, you know? One takes sick the other day, I was in recovery, I'm not going to call no name, can't carry no blame, call no name. What I'm saying, a lot of them, because some of them came on the show, not Saturday Night, not The Guardian, they was telling this talk show host, who's away on a top post in Washington now, was telling them, you know, he just quits him and said, well, you know, and I think he was getting something like either $80,000 or $100,000 a year from I think it was I think it was NIGOD or Lewis Bacon. So what I'm saying, Lewis Bacon and NIGOD were neighbors in Naifaki. And Lewis Bacon had even though some top people in Freeport over here, lawyers, preachers.
We know that they had the most influential people on their teams.
People on their team, yes.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, Aaron Green? So what I'm saying, as a retired police of 35 years, I work around the court, experience a lot of experience in those fields. It'll be hard to just, or very bad to just talk about the police, because everybody was getting money from those people. Lewis Bacon, they say he was a...
So what you're saying is that it's unfair to single out the police, considering
influence... A lot of high-class people who are getting money, these people who were...
Don't call no name. People. Yeah, don't call no name.
Yeah, I ain't calling no name.
Yeah.
My homeboys, them. The people that's my family, what I'm saying, a lot of these people were getting big money. And I can name off a list of lawyers who was working for Peter NIGOD, a list of lawyers who was working for Lewis Bacon. At one time, Lewis Bacon and NIGOD were best of friends.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is this a case of them turning the Bahamas into Gotham City, as opposed to them coming living here and then saying, oh, no, it ain't us. The Bahamas is Gotham City.
Right. see, Ms. Green, NIGOD used to accuse Lewis Bacon.
That his
father and grandfather then was the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, that was an allegation.
I don't want to forget, you know. I remember the day I first joined the police force, the 5th of November, 71. I don't want to forget what I'm saying. Like you say, they should not single out the police, because the policemen had a small price in that.
I got
the
you.
Big guns were getting big bucks from the two of them.
Thank you. And these are all allegations, right, sir? We understand that in this domain, we're talking about allegations. But the point that the caller is making is that it seems unfair to single out the police as the main culprit in this dynamic, given that the two men sort of at the center of the quote-unquote debacle wielded so much influence and had so much affluence that the average police officer may find themselves unable to make heads or tails out of the situation or to engage in a competent investigation of the allegations that were put into the public domain or raised by individuals. I could appreciate that. Caller, we didn't want to call any names. This is one of those things, right, where we always talking about it, but we don't have enough information to hold a legally competent conversation in the public domain. Like, all we have is anecdotal evidence. Like, I got all kinds of texts here. One text says, Aaron, the police were sent to stop NIGOD from illegally removing assets from the Bahamas. The police said they couldn't do anything because the gate was locked when they got there. Let's put all of that aside. Well, let's not put it aside. Let's put it on the side just for a second so we could look at it, turn our head and look at it every once in a while. We are all aware that that was happening. How do we then prioritize the victims in this space? How do we curate or create a space where we can prioritize those people that are the victims? Because I have a text here that says, what were these women doing in his bedroom? Either they were extremely naive or wanted money. Well,
children cannot consent. What the children doing inside the bedroom have nothing to do with me. The point is, he molested and take advantage of them. I want to know how the children get there. There needs to be an expose on what happened to these children, how they got there, right? We need to know who involved. We need to know if anyone ever made any complaint, right? And what happened after the complaint is made. The idea that this went international for justice to be done is insulting to Bahamian women in general, that they cannot find justice in the Bahamas. And this is where the politicians, especially the women politicians, need to be speaking out. They need to speak out and say there needs to be a thorough investigation. Where this is where the Minister of National Security needs to speak out. There needs to be a thorough investigation on what transpired on Bahamian soil.
Yeah, because it's as if we feel like as long, right, like while it was locked up behind the gate, while it was all behind the gate, keep it quiet. Don't say nothing. But now, it's well beyond the gate. It's well beyond the borders of the Bahamas. Right? It's well beyond the borders of Canada. This is international news. I have another texter here that says, the parents should also take responsibility. Now, I'm a parent. I got a child. My child's involved in some type of extracurricular activity. I trust the organizers of that activity to keep my child safe. To what extent is the parent who trusts their child with someone that has a duty of care for them, right? To what extent should a parent be penalized because the person who the guardian of the child for that time period disregarded their duty of care? And maybe the conversation we should be having, Mr. Newry, is about the duty of care, right? Whose duty is it to protect young women and girls, and by extension, young boys, young men and boys, right? Because we haven't even talked about that. I mean, to what extent were young men taken advantage of on that compound?
I want to know how long these rumors that Night Guard was molesting children was circulating in the Bahamas, and whether any politician, because I know there's videos of politicians going over to the key, did they hear about the rumors, right? And still say, man, we could be friends with him. Did they hear about the accusations? And they said, we still can retrieve money from him, you know, take and accept money from him. Mm-hmm. That's a concern.
Yeah.
That is a concern.
I mean, I'm 47. From I was an older teenager, I started hearing rumors about behind the gate. Mm-hmm. About
what happens on the key.
On the key, right? And I tell you all the time, Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let us off the side porch, right? Maybe because she could see I was a little fanciful, a little utopian-esque, and a little naive and easy to take advantage of, right? But there's something absolutely wrong. So I got a text here that says, you can't expect anyone to keep your child safe. You are ultimately responsible whether you drop them off or not. You don't get to transfer responsibility. But see, of course, parents are ultimately responsible for the safety of their children. When all systems fail, only people the children could rely on are the parents. Mr. Newry, I was engaged in this conversation recently where there was a teacher who, due to being underemployed, which is they were working as a teacher, but they weren't being paid enough to satisfy their bills, right? They decided to get an adult content site where they could publish their own adult content for money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess some students found out about it. And the school had told the teacher that you have to get rid of this account or you can't teach.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the group were saying that that's unfair.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a personal time.
That's a personal time, and the school should not prohibit a teacher from engaging in creating adult content in their personal time. So I raised the point that they raised the point that children shouldn't be accessing these sites anyway. That's against the law for a minor to access the site. So I said, well, listen, we all agree that a child that can or does access the site is an at-risk child. They're at risk because there's not sufficient adult supervision to prevent them from accessing adult content. Right? The child is already at risk. And so don't you as a teacher have a duty of care to your students and by extension to any young person to not engage in behavior that could negatively or detrimentally impact the psychological health of your students? The people in the group laugh at me and tell me, oh, you should go advocate for teachers to get greater pay. And I say, but I do that all the time. Like, that's what I do in real life. Like, I advocate for these sorts of things. Do you think, in that situation, the teacher has a duty of care to their students, and by extension to our larger conversation, that all of these people who are not parents, do they have a duty of care to protect children when the children are in their care and not in the care of their parents? Right? Because that's what I think. I think that we have fallen down, all of us, and forgotten one of the most basic social contracts, which is that all adults have a duty of care for children in their presence. If you see a child going to launch into the road, you got a duty of care to tell them no or to try grab them if you're near enough. If you see a young child about to drink beer or roll up a spliff of cannabis and smoke it, you got a duty of care to say to them, hey, hold on. What you dealing with, shorty? And to the same extent, to this larger situation, if we hear an allegation of this nature, do we not all have a duty of care to ensure that the state's resources, those that are available, are used to ensure the protection and safety of these young people? I just wanted to throw that on the table this morning. Because something has changed drastically in this country. Because I grew up, maybe it was a false impression, but it helped to guide me, that the adults around me have a duty of care to mold and protect me, and thus by extension, when I become an adult, I have a duty of care to ensure the safety and protection of all the young people, whether they mine or not. Anyway, we're going to go to this break. When we get back from the break, we're going to delve into some different news. Anatomy of a convention. I want to talk PLP talk. You guys stay tuned. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned.
In the Caribbean, island boy. Oh, when you look at the country, can't you hear that?
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I want to apologize if I ran on a little bit too long with that Nygaard story. See, I've been talking about rape culture for years and years and years and trying to highlight, right, the elements of rape culture that exist among us so that we could begin to eradicate it and weed it out. I wanted to transition to the anatomy of a convention, right? But in the break just now, I saw this story. I got about 10 minutes left, so we're going to... I got about 6 minutes left. We're going to read this story for a second. On page 3 of today's Nassau Guardian, there's a headline. DeSantis says U.S. would level Bahamas if it fired rockets at Florida. Mr. Newry...
I know you didn't see it. I say,
if I didn't see this,
that DeSantis gentleman laughed. I think he laughed. It's not even humorous.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is seeking the Republican nomination to run for U.S. president in 2024, said if the Bahamas ever fired rockets at Florida, he would, quote, level the country. First of all, sir, we already flat. Like, what you could do? What you could do to level us? The U.S. Embassy in Nassau said yesterday that it regrets if DeSantis' comments suggesting anything other than a close relation regrets if DeSantis' comments suggest anything other than a close relationship between the U.S. and the Bahamas.
It suggests plenty.
Man, look here, look how you're going to have to fire DeSantis as an American.
Can you imagine if he becomes president? Imagine that if he becomes president and making such a risque type commentary like that. Brash commentary. But see, this is where my concern. I know you're going to finish reading the article.
Yeah.
Now, let's say there are some terrorists who make their home in the Bahamas because we have open borders just like the United States.
Yeah.
Right? And those terrorists launch some kind of attack.
Yeah.
Onto the United States. Not to us do it. But
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
This German said that he will come and bomb
every lobster.
Every person here. Level it.
Every corn cake.
We won't discriminate. He won't discriminate. He won't target, specifically investigate who did it and get them to justice. He would level. See, it shows his respect or his attitude towards us. And when I say us, I mean people of color. The majority of us are black people. He does not have any regard for black people to the extent that he's willing to kill us all to make a point.
You know, it's something about the lens and the stage. There's something that happens to people when they get in front of a lens and on top of a stage, sir. it impacts the wiring in their brain. We see it most often in beauty pageants, right? When you talk to contestants in beauty pageants outside of the pageant itself, these are some of the most intelligent women that you will meet. But it's like they get on that stage, the bright lights, the cameras, the action, and they forget all of their words. And you wonder if they took any time to prepare for the event. Same thing with DeSantis, buddy. Dear sir, do you not understand? I mean, have you not read a book? Like when JFK said, okay, no, we're not going to New Cuba. They're too close. We're not going to do that. They're too close. Anyway, sir, this was just a little bit of ridiculousness this morning. This text says, y'all can't and won't do anything if DeSantis chooses to do so either. But this is also the same person that doesn't understand that children can't consent. Dear texter, I'm not being rude. I'm just making an observation. What would we do, Mr. Nuri? What would we do? See, because from the moment DeSantis becomes president,
he started lobbying that he doesn't become president now. Any Bahamian, any United American of Bahamian descent, of Caribbean descent, of Latin America, Western Hemisphere, any black people around the world who listening to this, who are Americans, don't vote for him. That way off.
If we find out they vote for him, what we could do?
Don't come back here. Don't visit us.
We're putting you on the stop list.
Yeah, don't vote for us. Because that person, that good gentleman, is prepared to wipe us off the map for individual craziness.
Yeah.
He has no
isolated.
He has no respect for us as a human being, no respect for life. And he's saying it blatantly. I don't care about none of y'all. I level all y'all.
Like, why would you?
The Grammy, the innocent children, the handicapped, the Christian, the Jew, the Gentile, the tourists who here visiting, he said he'll level everybody, just dead.
Look how quickly I could be tourists on the cruise ship sail when they send a bop, 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 and they say, all evacuate, all Americans. Look how quickly I could be on the boat. It raises two things for me, call I come in right now. One is intent versus impact, right? When we have to measure our impact versus our intent when we speak. And the second, we're going to go to the call. I can tell you the second one after. Good morning, caller.
Frank.
Good morning.
I had to call about, as a first journalist,
yes.
Go back to the history of September 11th. I say no more on that. If you find it or you investigate it, if you don't, then I'll erase it for you.
You mean like how on September 12th, the only plane to leave, the only like private...
No, you don't get it. No, not that.
I'm telling something on September 12th, how... Because September 12th is the day after September 11th, right?
Right.
The big day, right?
All right.
How the only non-military plane to fly was the Saudi family leaving the U.S. coming to the Bahamas?
No,
that's what
you
was going to talk about?
It's far away from that. It's the foundation of September 11th. I'll say this as a first journalist this morning, and I'll give you time to do your homework and your Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
Start it in the Bahamas.
Not that. No,
foundation. You know, I know you say that, but a person who's a good journalist, a good researcher, would tell you what the Punkinid is talking about.
You talking about where the boy them learned to fly?
You don't take it out of my mouth. I want you.
You talking about where the boy them learn to fly?
I want you to go.
Let me ask you a question. Where they get the money to learn to fly?
I can't
from?
Answer it. That's
right.
Homework.
You can't answer.
That's homework for you, Eric. I give you homework.
I know the answer to the question, but what I'm saying is pumpkin eater.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to say?
I would say it when you find it.
Some of them learn to fly here. Apparently.
Find story.
Allegedly.
Story. Go deep in that.
We know the time.
They go deeper.
Do you think 9/11 was a false flag event?
The foundation of 9/11 started in the Bahamas. That's why that support the governor running for president. That's why he could say that.
Y'all really, really want to be, like, y'all want to be American. Half of y'all want to be Israeli.
That's why the governor could say that. Because the foundation of the flag of 9/11 that blew up the side in New York. The foundation is in the Bahamas.
Boy, listen, these...
Have a good day, Eric.
Man, don't be calling my show with all of this espionage-like talk, man. A secret wrapped in an enigma. wrapped in an anathema, wrapped in expensive wrapping paper. Producer, it's time to take us. Oh, is it one more caller? Okay, I got one more caller. You got 30 seconds.
Good morning, Aaron and Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you. I'm listening to Punkin either, but I don't believe that because the foundation of 9/11 started in the heads of men back in the East.
Mm-hmm.
It did not start in the Bahamas.
Okay.
We were a part of their journey, but it didn't begin here. It began in the heads of men back in the East when they made their plan to do what they do, and the Bahamas was a part of carrying out their plans. Not really a part of it, I guess, the flight learning part, one or two parts, but they learned how to fly in Florida also. It wasn't only here.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So it didn't start here. Whatever DeSanto said, come on, it's crazy.
DeSanto is definitely a wild one.
And constantly anti-black themes come out of his mouth.
Oh, that's right, hey. Florida's a wild place right now.
Concerned.
Very, very concerned.
I don't think Bahamas are safe there.
Well, a lot of African Americans, including the NAACP, warned, put out a notice telling African Americans don't visit Florida.
Mm, they're concerned.
It's piling up. Anyway, this has been a bit of a chaotic show this morning. Again, we want to say happy 100th birthday to Miriam Roka. Today, we are all Miriam Roka's family. And we must all celebrate her 100th birthday with her. Oh, I can't read these texts out loud all out of time, but stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.